American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Samarin reporting to you for Monday, March 2nd, 2009. You're listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit Rep on Co-Political Tyranny, Technology and Trends for Ed Space and Timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories and checking Sean's facts by going to his live journal. You can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Servium Radio, Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, and Red Radio Mercury. And we can be located in Second Life in the node of Archers, the grid coordinates, coordinates 1-557-4666. You can place the commas where you want. And also joining me tonight is John Kennedy.
Oh, it's so good to be here. It's so good to be here. You did that really well. You did that really well.
Oh, thank you.
No, you did. You did.
I have some time under my belt, too.
No, you did good. You did good. It's, I hear it in my sleep. You know, I'm really sure that my next life, when I'm born, that's going to be the first, and will be the first word out of my mouth. I'm absolutely certain of it. It was a good intro. It was a good intro. I think you're the only person to ever do an alternate newsreel intro. Like, nobody else has done
that.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel privileged.
Well, you should. You're the only one. That's it. That's it. And, you know, everyone's all liking it now. They're all like, oh, yeah, he's way better than you, Sean. You suck.
Yeah. It's like I'm in the band or something.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's kind of weird, actually, because, like, I usually put myself into the newsreel headspace by doing the intro. Yeah. You know, it's like I have to conjure the demons, you know, that is, you know, this character that I play, right? You know, but now I can just sort of, I sort of started it, and then we had to redo it, you know. So I did kind of start one, and then we misfired because the audio screwed up on this episode, so that's fine. That's fine.
So he gave me a chance at it. I did.
Yeah. Well, actually, I balled you out and I said, don't talk until I bring you in, and then you got hurt. And I didn't want to hurt you, you know.
And then he made me do the intro. Okay, fine. You can talk. Do the whole thing. Fine,
do the whole
I'll
fucking thing
trailer.
Then. I don't even care. I don't even like this stupid show. Thump slam. That's the idea. Yes. Maturity. Maturity in our time. I'm keeping.
We're doing it live. Fuck it. We're doing it live.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. You know what? I totally felt for him at that moment in time. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, wow, we're the same guy. You know? What was his name? What was his name? He's like totally crazy.
Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly. You know, everyone gives Bill O'Reilly a hard time. Sure, he's crazier than a shithouse rat. You know, I mean, he's totally nuts. But, I mean, you know, I thought that was genuine. You know, that wasn't fake. I mean, he really was.
Oh, no, there. That was genuine. He didn't know what a certain word was, like a bump or a lead out or something. It was like, I think it was lead out. He didn't know what that meant. He got all mad. What's the lead out? I don't get it. We'll do it live. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
I'd work with a guy like that. I'd work with a guy like that, you know? That's,
looks like fun. Yeah.
Oh, he'd be a hoot. You know, you got to have like a dude like that, Hunter Thompson. You keep a bunch of revolvers on the table. Some of them have like one bullet in them. Some of them don't. You know, and occasionally when
you're in the third chamber.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know, and then you get mad, and you just pick up like a gun and spin it and point it at the dude and pull the trigger just for punctuation. I tell you, people watching the show, they'd be watching the show. Hey, you know what though? I get corrected bad. So you know, after last show, because apparently I really dropped the ball. And you know, it's great about checking my facts is that people do check my facts, and when they tolerate the little facts, you know, the little screw ups that I screw up on, you know, and they can tell when I'm like obviously making shit up, you know, because I'll just do that sometimes. I'll just go off.
You'll
in the
go
of the
way
story.
Off.
Oh yeah. I'll start talking about, you know. I'll do, like, the celebrity voices and everything, you know, and I'll be like, yeah, and then, you know, Gary Roberts was like, fuck you, man, I'll kill you, bitch, you know, and of course he never actually said that, but I'll like impersonate people and stuff. You know, because I know. I can tell the way people are, you know. So, apparently, in regards to the space move, this was the feedback I got here. You ready for this one?
Oh, okay.
In regards to space news, newsreel 02-23-2009, New Mexico.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one where I was like, oh, shit. The drug cartels are going to have a spaceport, Shadowrun in space. Oh, my God. Right. Well, apparently New Mexico is not Mexico. It is part of the United States. Now, I love this is exactly how this came to me. Okay? This is exactly this I didn't modify this email. In regards to quote space news, unquote, newsreel 02-23-2009. New Mexico is not Mexico. It is part of the United States. Period. The spaceport that you went on about is not located in Mexico. It is located in the United States. I thought you should be aware of your mistake. Period. Even with your occasional mistakes, Newsreel is great. Keep up good work. And that was sent to me by Zhao, or Z-I-U, or Zoo, or someone who's probably doesn't have English as a first language who, you know, is probably thinking, Sean is so stupid. Oh, my God. You know, it's totally...
You know, Mexico, New Mexico, what's the difference?
Whatever. You know, well...
Quebec, France, what's the difference?
Well, at first I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, I can't believe I... Because I did actually know that New Mexico was not in Mexico.
Well,
I'm not completely... Yeah. But I guess somehow Mexico sort of jumped out at me there. Because I read this stuff fast, right? And put a lot of effort into it. So, you know, it just, you know, is not so big.
He glossed over the new... He thought it was just a new story.
Well, but then I felt really bad. You know, I felt really bad because I thought, you know, it'd be way better if the spaceport was in Mexico, because then you'd have, like, you know, say hello to my little friend, you know, and you got, like, Buddy with power armor, he's got a Thor hammer system on the go, you know, it'd be very Shadowrun. You know, drug cartel space marines and stuff.
That'd be much more exciting, I think.
Well, it's definitely makes for some better science fiction, I'll tell you that, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
It'd be the way to go. Where they go. So a bit of a
they did a parody in South Park actually of a Mexican spaceport.
Oh really?
They were trying to fly a whale into space. So that's what it reminded me of when I did the story.
Oh really? Oh well, that would have been why would they fly? Oh, I guess that's like a Star Trek tie-in or something for the whale in space thing going on there.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have to be right. The voyage home, all that nonsense.
Yeah, exactly.
Except incidentally,
the whale died on the moon.
But. Incidentally, we're talking about this. We're talking about... Holy snot.
What are we talking about?
Holy hopping toads.
What?
Holy freaking out. Holy freaking out with my red lights on, in light discipline mode, in the gun cellar cleaning. Okay? They're remaking.
What are you talking about?
They are remaking Neverending Story, and I'm really pissed off about that. I'm really...
Shattering your childhood movie by movie.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to remake next, guys? The Dark Crystal? You know? Why don't we just do that? You know, it's like, what are these... It's getting... Oh, and of course, you know, when this was alerted to me by my good friend and writing mentor, McSwain... when she alerted me to this, because she's on the bleeding edge of, you know... memory destruction.
Never-ending story news.
Yeah, you know, she knows all... She tracks the void daily, you know, or the nothing, rather, as it's more known to her. The great nothing, which we must all strive against. And that's... It's such a fantastic story, too. You know, and it holds up. And it was filmed here in Vancouver.
Really?
Yeah, you know the scene where... this is really funny, actually, but you know the scene...
I can't remember a thing from it. I watched it in the theater once.
That's because you don't eat enough meat. If you were eating meat, your brain would be functioning, and you could remember that there was a scene in there where there was this boy, and he ran into a bookstore, and he was being chased down an alleyway in Vancouver. And at the very end of the movie, the dragon, they chase the same kids. You know, he goes all Columbine and rides his dragon in and chases these bullies into a dumpster, which, you know, suddenly is not so funny after Columbine. But anyway, this is the thing. That's filmed like I eat lunch there. You know what I mean? Like every day. That's like so. That's so close to the sanctuary. It's not even funny how close to the sanctuary that is. Okay, and the bookstore where they shot that scene. Okay, I believe there's a bookstore not two blocks from there, but it's called McLeod Books. And if you ever get into Vancouver, that's the place you go.
Wow,
McLeod Books. Yeah, it's It's awesome. It's the Miskatonic University Bookstore. I'm not even kidding you. That's where you want to go. But anyway, you know, this is a fantastic story. I watched this when I rented it. I was 14 or 13 or some shit like that. And I watched it by myself alone in the house with like a big thing of Dr. Pepper. And that was it. You know, that was like this magical, magical memory of this film. And now,
well, all they want to do is recreate that magical memory for the people who never experienced it the first time around.
They can't. They can still get it. We got it on Blu-ray. All right, well, put it on Blu-ray. You'll have a Blu-ray never-ending story. That's sweet.
Yeah, but how are they going to market the new music that's going to go into it and re-promote it and get new stars and, you know, sell it?
Well, here's an idea. Why don't we do something original? I know. It's revolutionary.
It's too much of a risk.
It's
always about bankable. It's always about the money. But
so what do we do?
The money.
What do we do to make sure they stop doing this?
If people stop going to see these remakes, ba-bing! Which they aren't, they keep seeing them.
Yeah.
So
stop going to the goddamn movies. That's what it is.
How do you convince the general public to not go to remakes of movies?
Okay, look, if anyone should know how to do this, you should. I mean, you're part of a culture that convinces people to not eat meat, which is a hell of a lot more difficult to do than it is to convince people not to go see crappy movies. You know?
Well, it's terribly hard because, you know, crappy movies cost almost nothing to make, and they put all the money into marketing, and the more marketing there is, the more people go and see it, and that is the unfortunate truth. Because they get the exposure, and they've already paid for the writers to make this movie. It's done. Here's a movie. It's packaged, already done for you. They don't even have to think about how to make it. They just put on the DVD and go, okay, next scene is this. Okay, act just like these guys did.
You know, we should... In all honesty, what I should be is happy. I should be happy because... We could do like a Rant Media promotional thing. It'll be like, Rant Media, we promise not to fuck up your childhood. Rant Media, we do stuff new. You haven't seen it before. You know, this isn't a remake. You know what I mean? Like, that'll be the first feature-length film we make is not a remake. The film!
The problem is that the kids that are going to go see it will not even know that it's a remake, and that's how they do it. They wait 20 years and look what was popular 20 years ago. And they just redo it. They just look at the spew of movies that have come out. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, but they're not gonna. They won't. It won't be real, man. It won't be real. They won't have that magic like it was since it like not like the magic they hit on with the first Matrix movie. You know, not
exactly,
like the kind of magic they had when they did like Fight Club or Trainspotting. Or the magic from the first time, let's like magic films, Indiana Jones and the real classics.
Really,
stuff.
Is that magic, or are the people that read the books complaining too? That's not original. I read that five years beforehand.
Apples and oranges, man. You can't. The ultimate medium. Okay, for expression is the book. Let's just get that.
Is it the book, or is it one to one storytelling?
No,
the storytelling was before that.
Oh, I'm going to say the book.
I'm going to say the book.
Oh, no, okay. I'll say the book over storytelling because the book gives a single person the ability to say exactly what they want to say. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's repeatable. Okay, that's the
thing. With the reader's voice in their own head rather than somebody else's inflection put upon them.
Right. You know, and this is the idea, is that, you know, there should be... I think that a book is the better way to go. But on that said, though, I mean, the most successful thing I ever did was my Tales from the Afternow stuff, right? And that's all audio.
So,
that's all, but that's easily distributed. However, I would say the ultimate form of medium is the actual book. Now, movies are fantastic, but, like, you can remake a movie. You can't rewrite a book. I mean, a book is a book.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
also, books are very translatable into other languages, whereas a storytelling... You would have to get a different person to tell the story, which would give it a different spin on things.
I'd probably actually, if you wanted to, I mean, there's also what's important with the story. You know, like some stories are just like, you know, these great, like Cujo, you know, great story, great story.
Yeah.
But it's potato chips. You know what I mean? It's just stuff to keep you your brain from turning to mush. You know, it's a time passer. Good times.
Yeah.
But this
and
is
you need stories like that.
You do. you know, I mean, Stephen King was high as a kite when he wrote it. He doesn't remember writing it.
You can't just watch or read depressing, realistic things all the time, nonfiction. You have to escape sometimes, right?
Oh, well, I don't see movies with sad endings. I'm just not interested. No, I'm serious. I'm totally serious. If a movie has a sad ending, I'm like, I get pissed right off. If a movie has a sad ending, I'm like, thank you very much. I would go watch a Sally Struthers, you know, charity production if I really wanted to get bummed out with my movie. Now, you're one of these sick pricks who likes, you know, to watch these
I love sad endings. I love realistic endings.
Yeah, because you don't get enough reality every day, you know, just in case
everybody
you're feeling
hugs and
good.
Laughs at the end like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Fuck yeah, like a Scooby-Doo episode. If you can make me feel like I feel at the end of a Scooby-Doo episode, I'm all about that stuff. Those movies, and even you can't get away from it there. Remember that movie, Baby Secret of the Lost Legend? Not Baby Secret of the Lost Legend. Sorry, Land Before Time. Land Before Time. Dinosaur movie. Baby dinosaur movie. Animated movie. It's like one of those goddamn scenes where the mommy dinosaur is dying for like half an hour. Half an hour. And all the kids are like, oh, God. You know, it's brutal. It's like, no, mommy, don't leave me. And I'm like, oh, man. You know, I'm sitting in the theater. My face is full of snot. I'm loving this. I paid $8 for this. This is awesome. Awesome.
But that is a sad ending. All the dinosaurs die in the end.
Dude, all the dinosaurs didn't die in the end. That's a theory.
Eventually,
it's
you know.
Theory.
Theory. Oh, I see. Some survived in the depths of the ocean.
They evolved, turned into dragons, and got an interdimensional transport. That's my theory. I write about it in my stories.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, and one day they will return.
Well, you know, I hope not, because they'll probably kick our ass. I mean, you ever think of like...
Probably. They're huge.
Well, no, it's not just that. I mean, okay, there's two schools of thoughts on dragons. Sorry, just to get on a side tangent here about dragons for a minute. I think the dragons... The thing that pisses me off with dragons in fantasy is that people make dragons into these big wusses. I mean, Tolkien did, and he was cool with it. But most people, like, you watch, like, the things like Dungeons & Dragons, you've got, like, you know, they treat them like they're sort of like big lizards. You know what I mean? That's what they are. They're big flying lizards that breathe fire. You know, the rain of fire dragons. They're almost like insects in rain of fire. I mean, they're ridiculous. There's not even personality. Okay.
Yeah.
But dragons, I mean, in Second Life. Now, this is one of the things you didn't know about Second Life, okay? Aside from the fact it's populated with really crazy people, and we get past that, okay? But, what are these really crazy people doing? You know? And one other thing they're doing... is and furries. Thank you, Baldy. Yes, and there's furries there as well.
Lots of furries.
One of the worlds that they created is a dragon world where, like, everyone, in order to be in this world, you have to be a dragon.
Everybody's a dragon in this world. Wow.
Yeah, and it's like it's brutal. Okay. So it's fantastical. It's beautiful. It reminded me of the first time I went there and checked it out. It reminded me a lot of this old 80s movie called The Last Unicorn, which I don't know why it reminded me of that. I hope I don't offend anybody with that, but it was
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, no, it's an old animated movie. I liked it. I like old 80s animated fantasy films. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. It's true. Well, you're into that weird Japanese stuff. What's that?
I should clarify that.
What's that? Totoro and that guy. The Totoro guy.
Ghibli movies.
Ghibli's movies. Ghibli. Yeah. That's the stuff. Yeah. But sorry, man. I didn't mean to put you on the block like that there. That was
Miyazaki.
Miyazaki. That's cat's name. Yeah. So
actually, they're showing a double feature of Miyazaki movies down at the Rio down the street from me soon.
Well, okay, well, back to the dragons thing. I do not want to get into some weird Miyazaki fluffy thing. See, dragons are supposed to be like, in my world, man, if you came across a dragon in one of my games, that dragon would have to focus all of his thoughts to not, like, kill you with his very being and just overwhelm you with his presence and you would die. You know, I'm just...
Oh, wow.
I've seen Plague Dogs, actually. That was another one that somebody threw out from the crowd. Plague Dogs is this wonderfully moving movie about... My parents brought this film home. They thought it was like a Watership Down movie. It's a PETA, you know, anti-animal testing movie, where at the end of the movie, the dogs, like, swim into the darkness and die. It's like the most dank... depressing, like, now go to bed. If you don't stop this, you're gonna go to, oh my God, I'll make you watch Plague Dogs again. No,
mommy,
it's
no, not
psyops,
dogs.
Man. It was like totally bad. Oh my god, the roughness of the mind damage. But
does Tolkien treat dragons with the respect that they are due?
Yeah. From my limited memory of how Tolkien wrote about dragons, because I only read The Hobbit, I haven't read Lord of the Rings, I don't particularly care for Tolkien's style. Okay? Yeah. That's a ballsy thing to say right there. Okay?
There really wasn't many dragons in Lord of the Rings.
Well, that's because if there was...
from the movies, anyway.
Yeah, if there was... and there were Tolkien's dragons, they would have, like, completely... Because if there was, like, four dragons in that book, like, that would have been the end of the game. Like, Sauron and everybody showed up and nobody had a fucking dragon. You know what I mean? Like, but if a dragon shows up, even Sauron would be like, oh, shit! Dragons! You know? Like, here be... They don't say, here be Wyverines. They don't say, here be rust monsters. They don't say, here be high-level monsters. They say, here be dragons. Meaning, that is it. That is the end of the fucking game. The Great God
Just
Cthulhu...
don't go there, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Great God Cthulhu would have dragons written on his map. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to be messing with the dragons, you know? And they're so hard to write about, really, where? Well, you have, like, the really good ones. But, you know, I'm just saying, in my world... dragons are badass, and that's where they came from. They evolved from dinosaurs. It's a great story. It's you know, plausible. Tom Cruise believes we were all, you know, ghosts from volcanoes, okay? I can totally come up with
that's
religion
yeah.
on this dragon thing. It doesn't even have to make sense. I've got fossils and stuff. You know, the crazy shit that people believe. Speaking of which, a buddy of mine at work, true story, he's got a buddy whose kids got involved with the Moonies. Can you believe that shit? The Moonies.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. See, now, while it's not like you and I, you know, we disagree a little bit, you know, on a couple of things. And you're not really against Christians or anything, but you don't like organized religions exploiting people. You know what I mean? You got nothing against
individuals.
Well,
I definitely don't like that.
No, well, neither do I. You know what I mean? And you know, the Catholic Church does some bad stuff, you know? I mean, there's no two ways about it.
I just think religious people are wasting time.
Yo, for sure. For sure, and that's an arguable point. However, you know, the organized crazies I attack first are groups like the Moonies, like Scientology, you know, like the really crazy ones, you know?
Yeah.
And that
exploit people and waste more than their time, waste their lives and money. And
well, like the Hare Krishnas. You heard what happened to them, right? The Hare Krishnas?
No, what happened to them?
Well, see, they were actually a pedophile cult. And they were having sex with the kids. So in the largest landmark suit against the Hare Krishnas, they basically bankrupted the entire organization. They shattered it.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty... I have a book called Monkey on a Stick, which is about the Hare Krishna organization. Like, when you read about how cults are created and how they're managed and stuff like that, they all kind of follow the same sort of dynamic. You know what I mean?
Well, if they're going to try... true and tested way to recruit people, really.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what they do. And that's why, you know, the Raelians and these crowds, you know, it kind of, it's stuff that makes me kind of go to the gun store a little bit. You know, I get a little bit, like, whoa, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? But I guess
they,
we should
they usually all invent a, they usually all invent a really outrageous, outlandish lie. And since it's so crazy, people tend to believe them because, well, why would they make that shit up? It's so crazy. It must be true.
Well, people are searching, right? Like the Scientology guys, their big hate on is for psychology. Because, you know, if all the people who follow Scientology got a hold of psychologists, you know, their recruitment would go way down. Because you'd have to be batshit insane to believe what they teach anyway. But, I mean, you know, at least the Christians got that old book. You know, and they got an old book. You know, I mean, it was written by, you know, a bunch of dudes making shit up years ago, right? And now we just got this shitty L. Ron Hubbard. And L. Ron Hubbard is no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, like, let me give it to you. You know, he's really not.
Are you saying the Bible is better written than his fiction?
Yes, yes, I am. I will without a doubt say the Bible is better written. It took more effort. I'll give you that. You got to get me on there. It's got you. And it's fascinated people for like thousands of years. They based whole civilizations on it. You know? And we're still here. You know, I mean, they've tried to do some
luckily.
Damage. Yeah, well, yeah, okay. Yeah. But it could be that badass because, I mean, we're all still here.
Let's say, Leda, we have survived through it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So we're still here. You know? Whereas if you know, Scientology kicked us around for 2,000 years, I promise you we wouldn't have made it.
Oh, no.
But now, of course, now we have the news. Let's take a look at what we got going on in the news. I want to keep going on the cult thing. I know you do, too. I can hear it in your little salivating.
It would be lots of fun, but we break it down each show.
Yeah.
Don't have to do it all at once.
Grind it up, slowly digest it through all of our stomachs. Okay, in robot takeover news, this was sent to me by RU46. Thank you very much. Robot playmates monitor emotional states with children with ASD. Now, this is kind of weird. The day robot playmates help children with autism learn the social skill they need to naturally lack has come a step closer with the development of a system that allows a robot to monitor a child's emotional state. Yes, Sim, I can't think of how many times I've waited for the day a robot playmate can help my autistic child learn social skills. I think that's really bizarre. So what we got here is we got a machine's ability to monitor children. And monitor children's emotional states. That's what we got here.
Well, we've all been waiting for this. You look sad.
Now, how could this possibly be bad? You know, did you ever hear of this big box? You ever hear of these big box daycare centers? You ever hear of these things? They got them in Australia. I believe it's Australia. They got them in a couple countries. It's like a Costco, but it's a daycare. Okay, where literally it's like they got cages and all this kind of thing. It's like really nuts, you know, what they can do.
Well, you just drop your kid off and they get processed and put in the cage. And
you betcha.
Once they're done,
little
8 hours
tattoos
later,
and the whole deal.
Home. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's
yeah,
really
you know,
good.
It's sick and weird. And beyond that, they're also finding that kids, and this is studies you're not seeing a lot talked about, but they're finding that kids who go to a lot of daycares are getting more and more disassociated. You know what I mean? And you see it. You see it with kids who've spent a lot of time in daycares, like especially with siblings who, like, they got a brother and a sister and they spent all their time in the daycare. They got time for each other, and beyond that, they're like little prison convicts. You know what I mean? Like, they don't, you know, hey, man, you know, they'll beat you up for smokes kind of a deal. And that's the way a lot of these...
Nice.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not natural, you know? Like, these kids...
Well, you're pretty much farming kids, right?
Well, that's what they're doing. And what kind of a... what? I mean, these are the people that... Well, what? We're going to put our kids in little big box camps and let the machines monitor them. And then when we get old, they'll put us in big box camps and let machines monitor us. And that'll be how it... That's the game? You know?
Well, they're preparing us for the, you know, the next step. You know, a cubicle when you're a kid and a cubicle when you're an adult. And, you know, machines can watch you all the time. Cameras when you're a kid and in your cubicle. And a little monitor screen with a robot with AI going, are you sad? Please try this pill. And, you know, same with when you go to work.
Well, I mean... Let's just take it one step further, Sim. Let's stop screwing around with the machines and everything. Let's just put a little light in our hand, you know, so that when we get old enough, we can renew, you know, and we'll have this ceremony. And when our life runs out, it'll blink, you know, because the light, it's time, and then we'll go down and we'll all get sucked up into the weird energy vortex towards like some moth light, and everyone will be chanting renew. It'll be awesome. It'll be really cool. Think it's a good idea.
Well, yeah, because after you've outlived your usefulness, then, you know, you could just disappear and you won't be a burden on society.
Sure, we'll set up a nice suicide forest or something. I mean, this is insane!
Like a movie I've heard of.
Yeah, no.
Logan's Run.
That's the one. That's the one, yeah. Yeah, it's stunning to me that people are not more outraged by this. You know what I mean? And it's so thinly veiled that you've got robots monitoring children. Yeah, okay, it's got some good spin to it. Yeah, you can spin it this way, you can spin it that way. But does anyone actually see the writing on the wall? You know,
no,
I don't
they
know.
Don't, because it's the boiling frog syndrome. We just get further and further down the rabbit hole. People are accepting more and more things.
It's brutal.
The news says your kids are crazy. They need drugs. They need monitoring.
Oh, no,
they
no. Good segue. They don't need drugs, man. Remember when I was talking to you last show? Remember when I was talking to you, a couple shows ago? I was talking about the how they were using brain chips now, right? Because the drugs are too much testing, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, there's too much testing.
Much
well, brain
testing
chip news.
On, yeah.
Brain chip news from DeBrimi. This is insane. This is intense. The Food and Drug Administration Thursday approved the first implantable device designed to deliver electrical therapy to the brain to suppress symptoms associated with severe obsessive compulsive disorder. So what? So I wash my hands too much, you get a chip in the head. The device, known as the Reclaim DBS, that really scares me, like Reclaim. The Reclaim Deep Brain Stimulation Therapy is made by Meditronics Incorporated. Their stock number is MDT. The product was first approved to treat patients with OCD in cases where drug and psychotherapy have failed. It is expected the device to be used in fewer than 4,000 people annually for OCD. So that's what you need, Sim. You know?
Yes.
That's what you need.
That's right.
The drugs are not going to stop you from filming. You're way too artistic. You know, this weird... Yep. So what we're going to do is we're going to...
Clinically artistic and, you know...
Yeah, diagnosed. And you've been chosen. You're one of the lucky 4,000 people annually who we're going to, you know, stick this chip inside of your head that'll make it so that every time you do something creative, it's going to tase you, is what's going to happen. You'll just like, that'll be it. You know, be like, oh, shit. In a statement, Meditronic said device would be available in the middle of the year to treat OCD. But before then, to treat your dog. The company also announced it started to randomized clinical trial of DBS for treatment-resistant depression. Randomized. You look down. What? Oh! I feel happy. Meditronic's deep brain stimulation system is approved to treat Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders. You're not moving. This thing tases you right in the ass. You get moving. Meditronic is expected to seek FDA approval for the system to treat epilepsy. Oh, shit, yeah. We're putting it in everything. This stuff, man. Parkinson's, epilepsy, depression.
Works on everything.
If you're like left-handed, this stuff will sort you out.
Sign me up then.
You know, OCD is an anxiety disorder. Oh, that's a scary word. So if this is available for an anxiety disorder like OCD, there's a lot of stuff that falls into the category of an anxiety disorder. Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And apparently, this is characterized. OCD is characterized by recurrent, unwanted thoughts. Okay, so if you have recurrent unwanted thoughts, that can be considered OCD. You get a brain chip. Or if you have repetitive behaviors such as hand washing, counting, checking, or cleaning. You're too clean, OCD, into the chip manufacturer with you. You're getting a new box. The Reclaim.
But what else do the chips do that they don't tell you about? Maybe they have free upgrades and they can track you everywhere you go.
Oh, you don't even... you know what? Even if it just says what it does on the box... You know, even if that's all it does, you know, all we want to do is eat your brain. No, like, no, dude, no, I don't care. Okay.
Too happy, too sad, zap it away.
We need to make an ad for this. Reclaim. You know, you got this guy with the bloody nose. Reclaim. Some side effects may occur. The Reclaim system uses a small generator to create electrical stimulation that blocks abnormal nerve signals in the brain. The device is implanted near the abdomen or the collarbone. Shit, the abdomen, that's got quite the electrodes on it. And connected to four electrodes implanted in the brain through an insulated electric wire known as the lead. The two-device system may be implanted to stimulate both sides of the brain, or one device may be implanted with two lead outputs, the FDA said. So why don't I just get one of these and just really just crank that puppy up, you know? Every time...
Just go crazy.
Could you go the other way with it? Could you make it so that I read more? You know, like if I read too much. You know, what if I, you know, that's...
Yes, just switch the leads around.
Customizable.
You could choose your OCD.
Well, why not? Right? It's my body. It's my body. If I want to do it, should I be allowed to do that?
Sure.
Sure, you're not going to be able to pay for it with public money, but,
house too messy? Buy an OCD chip, and you'll have a clean house in no time.
Well, you know, if I wanted to hack my head, I'd go for a whole jimmy whack of these things. You know, just stack me up. You know,
I wanted a big project to be done, and I needed to get a lot of video editing done, I just put in the video editing chip and crank it right up.
That's
Put a big bowl
detail
of chips and salsa beside me, and, you know,
there you go, detail-oriented. Now you're detail-oriented. Now you've got a greater sense of time. Right, you know, you could make it all by SD. Of course, you know somebody's going to make like a proprietary, hookup for that. They wouldn't just give it to you with like a 1-inch jack. You know, they'd wind up, you know, they'd have to come up with like the new like Brain Jack 9000 42-pin connector system, and then you'd be buying these shitty brain adapter cables off of Kai Domain and stuff, and getting stuff from Taiwan.
Get
and
some
you're
stuff
like,
off the black market.
Oh brain yeah, you're down at the night market trying to fit plastic shit into your head, and Buddy's got the pliers out trying to get the busted piece back out that you stepped in there and snapped off. And the Chinese guys all upset. You pay me the $15 for Brain Jack. Monkey!
Brain Jack while you wait.
While you wait! You know, that's what would be going on, you know. We crack your Brain Jacks here. You know, it's coming. It's coming. Now, Big Brother Lord, you know, sent me this thing about some weed news. Now, you remember what I said before? We got this recession, right? Okay, so here's here's my here's my prophecy once again coming into pass. You know, people listen to Newsreel. People listen to Newsreel. So, of course, the Assemblyman Tony Omenio was listening to Newsreel, and he came up with the idea that that you should legalize weed. Assemblyman Tony Omenio will announce legislation on Monday, the day this show airs, to legalize marijuana and earn perhaps $1 billion annually by taxing it. Quinton Mack, Omenio's...
Wow, what a concept.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't believe this even made the news. Quinton Mack, Omenio's press secretary, confirmed to San Francisco Weekly the Assemblyman's 10 a.m. Monday press conference regarding new legislation relating to the state of fiscal crisis, which will broach the subject of reaping untold and much-needed wealth from the state's number one cash crop. This is in California, directly below, you know, us, right? Mack said...
Because we live in Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Well... Oh, really? Is there like, geez, I'm all, you know, New Mexico last, Sean, this thing, whatever. They're directly below us. They're not directly below us away. But, you know, if I fired, you know, the SDF-1 south, it would hit them. You know, I would just punch through, you know, Oregon. Anybody else? Or just be Oregon?
I think you need to eat less meat.
Noted. Yeah, that'll be the first time you've said that. Yeah, yeah. So we got Washington and Oregon. So if eventually, after, you know, I killed untold millions, my super pulse weapon would take out California. That would actually be really funny for a death ray thing. And you'd be like, fire! And it hits, like, Washington. And people are like, I thought you said you were attacking California. I did. Well, below you's Washington. And then there's a big argument. He fires it again and he fucks
collateral damage.
Yeah, you know, oh, I said about... You know,
close.
I'm so weak with geography. My truth is known. Oh God!
It's his weakness. No,
I can't read. That's the truth. Anyway,
that's right.
No, no, but that's what
he uses dragon dictate to write his books.
No, that's right. It's all on math. It's all on math. Oh God! So you know, hey, I don't think this is going to get past first reading. You know, I think that some crazy...
No, people will freak out to go, oh, my God,
they just spent, like,
drugs,
a couple billion dollars, you know, with the war on drugs. You know, and they're just kind of coming to the realization recently that, hey, this is a really bad idea. Like, this is, bad idea.
You never know. They may get so desperate that they will pass this. They may come to a point where it's like, we just ran out of money. We have no more money. And
man,
all these people are buying the weed.
We just got a black president. I'm not beyond anything. Okay? You know, at this stage of the game, if you were to ask me 2 years ago if a black president or legalized weed would be more likely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there you go.
I would say legalizing weed would be more likely. You know?
So would I. Yep.
But... You know, thanks to the good graces of everything, you know, we got one. Let's go for full pull, baby. Let's let it ride.
Go for it.
I mean, if they do it, that will be, it'd be like, wouldn't that just be the ultimate downer? Everyone would just be like, yeah, we legalized the weed. Now, crisis averted. You know, and all the press would be like,
one bill signing.
Yeah, I guess. I guess we'll.
I guess we're good. We're all good.
What's Britney Spears doing? You know, what's she doing?
Exactly. Next story, right?
Let's get Paris Hilton back on the air. So I think that Fox News and everybody be totally against, because that's what they do. Of course, they'd be like, they're going to poison your children. Ooh, you know,
ooh, the boogeyman.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Tommy Chong will be there, be like, no, man, like it's okay. Like we don't even like your children. You know, like seriously, that's what it would be. It'd be ridiculous. It'd be ridiculous. But in martial law news, now this was sent to me by Rabid Llama 8. The Iowa, I don't know what these guys were thinking. This actually happened. The Iowa National Guard has dropped plans for an urban warfare training in western Iowa town of Arcadia after being deluged. They've been delugged by nearly 100 emails. 100 emails.
Oh my God, I wouldn't know what to do.
100 emails at once and phone calls from gun rights advocates nationwide. The
it
4 day
scroll up the screen one page.
I know, that's like you have to scroll and stuff. The 4 day event in April would have involved between 90 and 100 combat troops. Combat troops now, not regular troops. These are combat troops arriving in
they
the Carroll County.
Fight?
Well, I guess that says right there, combat. Arriving in the Carroll County community with a convoy with a Black Hawk military helicopter flying overhead. So it's not doing anything, it's just flying there, you know, at $4,000 an hour. Troops would have gone door to door and asked the town's 443 residents, small town, okay, small town, 443 residents about suspecting arms dealer and conducting searches of homes if property owners volunteered in advance to cooperate. So now there's a rough sale. You know, I'm going to go to small town.
I understand the 100 emails now.
Yeah, well,
that's one quarter of the population.
You know, it's funny because, like, who did they get to try to sell that? Hi there, small town America. We'd like to
search all your homes.
We'd like to come into your house and search it for guns. Yeah, and this is to help us plan for the eventuality of having to search Americans' homes for guns with the army. Yeah.
Just a training exercise. We won't write anything down. We promise.
You know, I could just see the old guy.
Pinky swear.
That's when Grandpa, who's been sitting on the porch since the Second War, you know, in the rocking chair with the coveralls and the 12-gauge across the lap, you know, and he hasn't said anything since, you know, 63 or so, kind of stands up out of the rocking chair and just starts loading the shotgun to get him off your porch. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so he goes, I've seen this before.
Yeah, oh yeah, like, and he has. And you know who got play in this story? This is great. I'm really happy about this. Talk show host Alex Jones of Austin, Texas, whose syndicated radio program is carried on 60 stations, had said he received phone calls on and off the air from the people of Arcadia and nearby towns who objected to the plans. He said he believes oil companies, in concert with central banks, are creating a worldwide economic crisis to set up a world government. Run by lizards.
Wow.
No, it wasn't run by lizards. That's David Icke. David Icke's got the lizards.
Nice.
I hope David's right. I hope Alex is wrong. That's all I want to say about that. You know?
It'd be much more interesting.
Oh, the royal family would be lizards, man. Lizards!
Well, you could shoot lizards and nobody would care. That'd be make it very interesting, you know.
You know, I do my part. You know, the only good lizard's a dead lizard.
Especially if they start eating mice, and then you can watch V for training exercises.
Oh, yeah. You know, mouthy. You're mouthy. You know, absolutely. Rooting in the dumpsters, looking for the mouthies. That's the way you want to run. You know, I think so. But, yeah, that's what they're doing down in Texas there. But it's been canceled. We actually got a couple wins this week.
So they said no. Wow.
Yeah, they said no. And not only that, this is crazy. You know, we got a bunch of wins. Ever since you came back on the air, man, the internet is not fucking around. You know, they're like, whoa, Sim's back on the air. What the hell?
You better clean this place up.
Well, no doubt. And Digital Rights News, another Digital Rights News sent to me by Big Brother Lord. The government's plan to introduce mandatory internet censorship has effectively been scuttled following an independent senator's decision to join the Greens and opposition bloc legislation to get the scheme started. Now, this is in Australia, okay?
This is big.
You know, the Aussies are kind of under the block. You know, they got everyone's all talking about, you know, oh, think of the children. Think of the children, you know, but now there are people are starting
to... Yeah, and that goes a long way in Australia, too.
Oh,
They passed some pretty bad laws.
Oh, yeah, they got some crazy laws. The opposition's communications spokesman, Nick Minchime, has this week obtained independent legal advice and said the government is to pursue a mandatory filtering regime. Legislation of some sort will almost certainly be required. Senator Nick Xenophone... not Xenophobe.
Wow.
That's his name, Xenophone. Previously indicated that he may support a filter that blocks online gambling websites. But in a phone interview today, he withdrew all support, saying the more evidence that's come out, the more questionable they are on this. The communications minister, yeah, whoa, you're going to block gambling? Oh, there's money there. You know, like, what are you doing?
We don't want to do that.
No, child porn, we don't want that. But gambling, yeah, that's fine. It's not like gambling's destroyed any homes, you know. I mean, gambling's...
Oh, no, no, no.
You know, the communications minister, Stephen Conroy, has consistently ignored advice from a host of technical experts saying the filters would slow the internet, block legitimate sites, be easily bypassed, and fall short of capturing all the nasty content available online. Bottom line, your shit is broken, your idea is stupid, it's not going to work. you know.
Ever.
And, you know.
Ever
and, work. And, but the comms minister, Steve, there, he knows what's going on. Despite this, despite he pushed ahead with trials of his scheme using six ISPs, Primus, Tech2U, Windshield, OmniConnect, NetForce, and Highway 1. But even the trials have been heavily discredited, with experts saying the lack of involvement from the three largest ISPs, Telstra, Opstus, and iNet, means the trials will not provide much useful data on the effects of internet filtering in the real world. His shit is broken. It will not work. You know, that's what they're saying. You know, Senator Conroy originally pitched the filters as a way to block child porn. Of course, that's what it's blocking. As ISPs, technical experts, and many web users feared, the targets have been broadened significantly since then. You know, oh, you want to read books? No books.
Once you get the filters in, it accidentally slips subversive content. Oh, how did that get blocked? Sorry about that.
Well, you know, last month, the ACMA added an anti-abortion website to its blacklist because it showed photographs of what appeared to be aborted fetuses. The government said it was considering expanding the blacklist to 10,000 sites and beyond. I don't think we should, you know, I'm worried about the nudity my child sees, you know, in these National Geographic magazines. You know, there's lots of, you know, women that are naked in these magazines. You know, and I don't know how are we going to do that? And on the National Geographic website, there's a lot of you know, naked women. You know, and they're women. You know, and they're naked.
Well, real life is pornographic,
and it's unregulated media that is pornography. And we have to, you know, we have to make sure that we prevent, you know, protect the minds. We got to protect the minds of
protect the bubble children.
Our most precious resource, you know.
Life is rated R.
You know, triple X life, you know. If you were going to rate your life, wouldn't you want it to be X-rated at least, you know, some of the time? You know, really, just for a little while. You know, you have the director's you know, not the one that's shown at the end of time, like, you know, that little chick track that said, this is your life, you know. I'd want to see I wouldn't want to show the
Who wants to watch the
version.
G version of that? Hey?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's when you show it.
I want to see it
church.
With the extras.
Yeah, you want to see the parts where it didn't fade to black. You know, that's what you're... yeah, that's the good...
Camera pans up to the left.
But, you know, it's a dangerous... I mean, there are stuff on the internet that's bad for kids, right? So we gotta watch that. You know, we gotta protect the children, right? I mean, that's understandable. We can...
Well, there's stuff on the internet that kids may not just be ready for. I don't know about that.
Well, now it turns out that Server is actually wonderful, and all children should be brought onto Server because of the story brought to me by the Fat Techie in Benevolent Server News. Lo, there was a cord, and the tone pulsed, and there was a single beep from the motherboard, and like so much life, it came from the cables, and illuminated my screen and bathed my room in its cathode warmth, and again I was there with my friends. The internet may not be such a dangerous place for children, after all. A task force created by 49 attorneys general. That's the way it was written, man. I don't know. The United States took into the problem. Look to 49 attorney generals in the United States were created to look into the problem of sexual solicitation of children online, and has concluded there is really not a significant problem. You always hear about, the child predators are going to... No, it's not really an issue. It's a myth.
You mean the media beefed that up?
Oh, shit, yeah. Wow. It's like Summer of the Shark, you know. The findings ran counter to the popular perceptions of online dangers as reinforced by depictions in the media. One attorney general. There's a bunch of attorneys. Just shit, man. There's like 49. That's like two platoons of attorney generals. Like, what do they call the guy in charge of that? Is he like the field marshal general? Is he like the field marshal in charge of attorney generals? One attorney general was quick to criticize the group's report. The Internet Safety Technical Task Force panel was charged with examining the extent of threats to children face on social networks such as MySpace and Facebook, amid widespread fears that the adults were using these popular websites to deceive and prey on children. Maybe they're praying for children. But the report concluded that the problem of bullying among children, online and offline, poses a far more serious challenge than the sexual solicitation of minors by adults. So kids are more vicious to kids than adults are. There's a shocker. John Cardillo.
I wonder how much they paid for this study to be done.
Well, I bet they're regretting it now. You know, here's a quote. Here's a quote. Social networks are very much like real world communities that are comprised mostly of good people that are there for the right reasons.
Wow.
Thank you. Yeah. The 278 page report issued last week was a result of a year of meetings between dozens of academics, experts in childhood safety, and executives of over 30 companies, including Yahoo, AOL, MySpace, and Facebook. Okay? Like, this task force led by the Berkham Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University looked at the scientific data on online sexual predators and found out that children and teenagers were unlikely to be propositioned by adults online. In cases that existed, teenagers were willing to participate and already at risk because of poor home environment, substance abuse, or other problems. So
just like real life.
Just like real life. Oh, look at that.
Wow.
It's not actually bad.
They should have just
you.
Given us the money and we could have just made something that would at least entertain people rather than wasting money on a 278 page report reviewed by, you know, dozens of people.
Yeah.
Probably spent $200,000 on it.
Oh,
and concluded
easy.
That the internet is like real life.
Yeah, and
you know,
a year long study
are on there.
A year long study, man, that's more than $1 million. There's more than $1 million on that study.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, I mean, come on, 40 companies, all this stuff, government task force, child. I mean, you're not gonna problem getting funding for that bad boy. You know what I mean? So, interesting.
It's for the children. Give us some money.
Yeah, you know, it's and that's exactly what they're doing. So, you know, but that's a good report to know, because when the next time some jerk off goes and starts talking about how, you know, oh, you know, the internet's a dangerous place for children, you can throw that report in his face and say, kiss my ass. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, we'll see you. You know? In body mod news, this is from Vulcan. Now, I always like a little bit of the bio body mod here. A synthetic biomaterial that encourages the body to create bone could be the answer to successful bone grafts and treating bone disease, say some Australian researchers. Very, very cool. What this is that if there's large chunks of your bone missing, it doesn't grow back and regrow, right? But they've got a material they can put on your bones now that make it so that people who need bone grafts don't have to get them anymore.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like, and if you combine that with some of the coral stuff they're doing, you've got, like, the concept of planamel, which I've talked about in my Afternow stuff. So this was sent to me by Vulcan, and he said, hey, I'm planamel news, which I thought was pretty cool.
Nice.
But, you know, not everyone knows that. But it was a really interesting biomod. So we've got the ability to grow some bone, you know, which is cool. So can we, like, put some, you know, metal and then grow the bone around the metal? Can we do that? Because that'd be cool. Right?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah, you could. I mean, they use metal in surgeries all the time that works well with bone and doesn't get rejected.
Sure. So let's just, I'll do a bunch of metal in my bones. And while we're at it, I want to get these three extra bones put in each one of my forearms, okay? And we'll just, you know, infuse those with metal too. Yeah.
Sounds like a painful procedure.
It sounds like it would suck.
One extra mutant factor that may help you survive this procedure
and not, you know, die, because that would probably suck a lot. But, you know, it's a good story.
Yeah,
it's a good story.
It
I
is.
Like
that is very, very cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I like that kind of stuff. Here's however, you know, now that Australia's defeated that law, you know, now that Australia's defeated that law, I've got another looming danger which has already popped up, and this is why it's so important that we need to always be vigilant for what is coming down the pipe, because they always are trying to restrict our freedom of speech. They're always trying to shut us up, you know, and it's brutal, you know. In looming news, Republican politicians on Thursday called for a sweeping new federal law that would require all internet providers and operators of millions of Wi-Fi access points, even hotels, local coffee shops, and home users, to keep records about users for 2 years to aid in police investigations. So if you're running a Wi-Fi, you better know everybody's connected for the last 2 years. You know, I don't think that's really good luck enforcing that. The legislation
people can't even set their security, let alone turn on their log files and keep those for 2 years.
Yeah, good luck with that. Well, I mean, they could mandate it on by default. You know, that you could do that. You could. I mean, and then people have to turn it off. You know, we'll have to see.
But, that's true. And then
this legislation would echo measures proposed by one of their Democratic colleagues 3 years ago would impose unprecedented data retention requirements on a broad swath of internet access providers and is certain to draw fire from businesses as privacy advocates. It goes on, you know, it's all kinds of evil. It's basically another repackaging of the same evil that they've been trying to shove down our throats for the last, you know, since the internet showed up. Essentially,
yep. Wanting to monitor everything, and
yeah.
You do,
and that's what they're trying to do. So it bugs
this
me.
This is more of a presumption of guilt before you've even committed a crime, and that's what it smacks of.
Yeah, and it's not good. You know, it's not good. So the bills you want to be aware of is S-436 and H-R-1076 in the House. Okay, so they're gonna be talking about those pretty quick. And trying to, so you want to, you know, get some information.
Write your representative.
Yeah, and definitely find out what's going on because they do this. They do this. I don't know why they do this. I guess it's, you know, they're hoping that, you know, eventually it's like brute force attacks. You know, if they hit us enough times with it, eventually we're going to be, we're going to fall asleep at the switch and that'll be the end.
Well, that's true. It's a shotgun effect. They'll rename it. They'll toss it out again and again and again and again until one slips through or they tack it onto another bill like Save the Children Bill and they have to pass that one so it goes through. So you have to be vigilant.
Yeah, you know, and it's and that's entirely what it's about. It is about the vigilance that is required because otherwise it's going to get piggybacked onto some other bill and, you know, they'll have like some weird Patriot Act legislation. Now, of course, the O man there, the big O, he said that he's going to put everything that he passes up on his website there, on the White House there. And, yep. You know, you could take a look at it. And some people are like, well, he didn't pass this one stupid little bill, blah, 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 blah. And they're, you know, they're trying to nail him on it. And everybody's like, oh, no, you know, Obama sucks and blah, blah, blah. I kind of like the guy. He hasn't totally fallen into graces in my books just yet. I'm going to give the brother a break, you know. He's got a lot of shit he's got to clean up. But, you know, I think that, I don't know, I would hope that, you know, so there's a couple of dudes checking the old White House website just to, you know, in case something shows up so we can get the whistle blown on that because it's important. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on there. And, well, that's a good, I mean, because you would think it would have to go by his desk, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, something as serious as that.
Yeah.
I would think, going to the House and stuff. I mean, but, all I'm saying is you got to be aware of it. So the two laws you got to watch for currently are S-436 and H-R-1076. You heard about it here first on Newsreel because you're not going to read about it, you know, in any newspapers or anything like that. And of course, you know, how do we fix problems, Sim? How do we fix problems, buddy? Tell me.
By telling the people what they need to know so they can act on it, look it up for themselves. And if you don't know about these problems, you can't act on them.
Right. That's entirely it. Now, how does everybody else fix problems, Sim? Not us. How do they fix problems? Two ways.
You mean the media?
Yeah.
Or
well,
people
just,
in general?
Well, they use violence and money. Those are your two methods of fixing problems. Violence and money. And that's what Microsoft is doing with this brand. Now, this is a Shadowrun story.
Microsoft is using violence and money?
Oh, yeah. In Redmond, Washington, Microsoft Corporation announced a partnership with technology industry leaders and academia to implement a coordinated global response to the Conficker, a.k.a. down and up, worm. Together with security researchers, Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, and operators with the name system, Microsoft coordinated a response designed to disable domains targeted by Conficker. Microsoft also announced, you ready for this one here, a $250,000 reward for information that results in the arrest and conviction of those responsible for illegally launching the Conficker malicious code on the internet. Ha-ha! There it is. $250,000. If
Blood
you
money.
Know who that is. So if you know who that is, you don't want to turn them in. You don't want to do that. If you're listening to this program and you know who that person is, you don't want to turn them in. You don't. You'd be marked forever. You'd be marked forever as a rat. You know, it'd be terrible. You know, really.
You would be.
It would be horrible. And you don't want that following you around.
Unless it's anonymous.
No, you don't. No, definitely because the money, right? So what you need to do is you need to contact me here at, you know, newsreel at ranradio.com. And we... You know, Rant Media will take Microsoft's blood money, that cursed blood money that they were going to give
it's
you.
It's awful.
And
we'll absolve you of your sins.
That's right. You know, and server forgives. You know, it does. You know, all Wikipedia's got to do is, you know, change the story, and it's forgiven. You know, that's it. It's the last person's version of the truth here, you know, and you'll be fine.
That's right.
So just, you know, and they don't talk about me, right, because I'm bad. So, you know, I can't get in Wikipedia if I tried, you know. I really couldn't. So if I do it,
Sean.
That's right. You know, I'm the unspoken one. You know, I'm the most occult
You're
thing
too
on
dangerous.
Wikipedia.
You're too dangerous. I
am an ad. You know, citation needed. You know, this is.
That's what Sean puts above his head. A little sign says citation needed.
Yeah, you know, this person reads like an advertising. But, oh, well, you know.
They told me I was not mentionable.
What was I called? What did they call me?
Not worthy or not.
No. It was an ambiguous human name. That's what I was listed as.
Ambiguous human name.
Eventually, I fell into the category of ambiguous human name. And which I thought was
you could
fantastic.
Do a rant like in Falling Down, the guy outside the bank, and you could do it just like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's like I'm an
Wikipedia.
Ambiguous human name. Oh, you see those people in there? They got into Wikipedia. They must have a regular name. I've got an ambiguous human name. And they put me in the cab, and I'll be like, don't you forget me. You know, be some other guy with a black and white suit on. You know, it'll be crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
But, yeah, so, you know, Microsoft, they're all like, listen, let's cut the shit. We're going to pay $250,000 for the head of the son of a bitch who made the Configure Worm. Okay, that's what we're doing. You know, that's where it is. Don't worry. I mean, the Second Life community is all mad. No, don't worry. I'm in the Urban Dictionary. It's all cool. I'm not so worried about it. The Urban Dictionary is cooler. Anyway, that's where you go to look up all the abbreviations on the escort sites. So, in your daily hack, we have the Hack Your Head section for the today's daily hack. This is from Misanthropic Gods. These are three different exercises to help you increase your memory, which I
Ooh,
think...
Excellent. We both need that, I think.
You know, I think that everyone should be, you know, aware of... your brain. Like, you should be aware of your memory. You are your memories.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that's
what makes you up.
You can't really flex your brain unless you're like Stephen Hawking, which is the only thing you can flex. But, you know, I mean, you got to look after your head. If you don't look after your head, I mean, feed your head, man. If you don't look after your brain, I mean, that's where you live.
That's the one thing you need to operate. You don't need your arms or your legs. You need your brain to operate.
Well, yeah, I could cut everything else off, and you're still you. You know, you get all ghost in the shell with that stuff. And
exactly,
it's still there. It's still there. So, you know, it's a set of exercises. It's pretty interesting stuff to help, you know, build up the gray matter and some Recumedia, which is really really sweet. We have The Great Depression Cooking with Clara. Now, this is really awesome. This was sent to me by Kizzle. And what it is this is a really old lady who was alive during the Depression, and she knows how to cook with, like, fucking nothing. Like, I've got some lemon rinds and some, like, wood splinters and a blowtorch.
Stone soup.
Yeah.
Stone soup.
And she's, like, all about, like, feeding, you know, the families of, like, 200 kids and shit like that with, like, nothing. And somebody filmed her, and she's got, like, she's great, man. She's got, I would go to see her to do a Cooking with Sean episode, because she's rad. And people who've lived
through
the...
Sounds like a good cooking episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She goes on, this is from her website here. Clara hopes that none of us ever have to experience what she did during the Depression. Over the years, Clara has imparted her Great Depression experiences on her grandchildren as she cooked meals from the era. The meals were simple and delicious. Stories were a mixture of misfortune and comedy, and in the end, Clara kept us both entertained and stuffed to the gills. The magic of Clara is she could turn lemons into lemonade and potatoes into just about everything else. She's had a childhood most of us can't imagine, but she was able to make the best of it and turn those trials into lessons we can learn from. And I thought that was just fantastic, you know? And so that's your Recumedia for today. So very cool. Check it out. It's actually kind of neat. And, you know, I mean, if they could do it in the Depression, you know, I mean, we're staring down the throat of one of those right now. So it's pretty serious, you know? Pretty serious. That's it. That's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. It's been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this show, please distribute this show. Don't just, you know, burn this and say, it's not a show. No. Give it to somebody, okay? Please, give it to somebody. If you can donate, don't just don't just, you know, throw $50 at me or whatever. Please just subscribe. $5 a month. If everyone within the sound of my voice could just give me $5 a month, I could buy that multi-50-foot yacht and do the genetic research I need to ensure all of us get Mecha and get to go to space so we can rain fire upon our enemies. Yes, it's true. It's true.
We wouldn't have to eat cooking by Clara.
We won't have to eat, but we will, because it's fun, and Clara's rad, you know? That's the way to go. And if you'd like to, you know, send us your world plans, because we want to know. We want to know what your world plans are, along with your $5 monthly donation. Because, you know, the homeless guys don't do shit for you, and we do a lot, you know, and it's way better.
Yeah. But you could buy a DVD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could buy a DVD, that's available now. Hey,
yeah,
we got those.
Get entertained. Yeah,
We could plug that.
Season one and season two.
Now I saw on the website in the email that goes out, the newsreel, which everyone should subscribe to because you get all the good stuff. info@rantradio.com. Sign up to the Rant Media newsletter so you can get the bleeding edge stuff before everybody else does and it gets sold out fast. But seriously, you want to check this out because if you buy both DVDs, you're giving people $5 off. Now they're only like
that's right.
They're only like $20 a piece. And
exactly, so $5 off that is 25%.
Are you fucking stupid?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, man? Like, first of all, they're getting like 37 hours of extra, you know, entertainment.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then like if they buy one, they're gonna buy the other one. You know what I mean?
And they are too.
Like, who the hell?
Sound like hotcakes. It's great. It's great. People are loving them.
And you're not getting an extra $5 off, man. We're never.
Oh, yeah.
Going to get a Star Cruiser if you keep giving away the farm like this. You know.
I know. It's all about volume, volume, volume.
So with
start talking louder.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So with that $5 you saved, you know, from
donate it to Sean.
You want to, you know, monthly.
Get
monthly,
on the subscription.
That's what you want to do because, you know, hey, that's what's going to pay for all the other media that is coming down the pipe. You know, because, hey,
and
have we not delivered? Have we not delivered since the 10th anniversary? I think we have. Look at everything that's happened.
There is proof.
There is proof.
I'm on the show. You got the DVDs out.
The book's being worked on. You got more video editing coming down the pipe, you know?
Yep. Very soon we'll have the Y2K videos out for all you wonderful people. You can watch Sean in all his glory 10 years ago.
And not only that, but in the last 2 months, you've generated an additional 60 hours for release. Let's not forget that, because you got 30 hours per DVD. So that's 60 hours. You know, I mean, that's good. That's
big. Yep.
It's the way to go. But if you want to, you know, send us the head of the guy who made the conifer worm or whatever, just so that we can get the blood money for that, you can send that to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M, 2M4. And, of course, I want to thank my army of flying monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information or stories that you want to send me or feedback about, you know, how great or not great you think I am, please send it to Newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, @rantradio.com. And really do, honest to God, subscribe to the newsletter, okay? info@rantradio.com. Say, hey, put me on the newsletter. I want to know what the fuck's going on. And
you get kept up to date without even doing anything. It just arrives in your inbox telling you all the cool new stuff that gets released.
And it's free. Free.
Free.
You know, free as in beer. We will spam you only if you want us to. And if you like the music in the background, check out some side trance because, you know, that's what it's all about. Now,
special song tonight at the end. It's very, very funny. Relates back to an interview Sean did on a radio show a couple years back. With
Way of the
Kurt
Master.
Cameron.
Yeah, with the Way of the Master guy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the one we're going to go with?
The guy from Growing Pains. Yeah, I think the song is called Say by Graydon Square.
Yeah.
He's an atheist rapper, and it's just really funny lyrics, no matter if you're atheist or religious or anything. Very funny.
But I thought it was really funny that this guy was going off about the same dude who interviewed me. It made me feel like, yeah, man, you know, but the funny thing was about my interview, if you ever hear it, is I'm actually way more Christian in the interview than the guy who's, like, supposedly attacking me because I'm not Christian. And they totally chopped the shit.
Oh, yeah.
They chopped the shit out of that interview. But at the end of it, like, my whole point was maybe you should not be crazy and, you know, and forgive people you know, kind of be like Jesus-like, you know, and you can go worship Jesus in your way, and I'll go worship him in his, and hey, have a good one, you know. But yeah. it's bizarre. You know, some of these guys, they get, any time that you get people who get all freaky about, you know, the old dead Jews, you get, it gets scary, you know. It gets...
Oh, they get excited.
Yeah, they do. They do! You know, and in the Holy Land, they're killing each other over this shit. You know, it's ridiculous. So, what's that guy's name again?
Graydon Square.
And the song is called?
Say.
So, very cool. And that's what we're fading out with today. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So, until next time, you got anything else, Sim?
No, I'm good.
That's what server said. End of line.
What's a master who can't admit truth? I find it kind of ironic that you call your show The Way of the Master. Y'all want to attack little old me? Little old Graydon Square, huh?
Hey, yo.
Okay, check it. You havers want to attack? Well, baby, it's on. But it won't be a pretty sight like old ladies and thongs. You think we running and you dead wrong. We staying right here. Graydon Square's a fundamentalist Christian's nightmare.
So who's right?
None, they all is dead wrong. Unbelievably pig-headed, closed, and headstrong. Out there alone. Cause they ain't never gonna realize that Christianity has more holes in it than SpongeBob. But that's cool. Take it on blind faith as I promote Atheist Nation movies on MySpace. And don't hate. You funnies made it a success. It sucks less than that phony religion that sucks. Less. Now these Christians wanna try to reconvert me. Before that happened, I joined neo-Nazi Germany. So go ahead, murder me, bastard, cause I make atheists come out the closet faster than Ted Hagman.
Say that I lie, gon' say that I'm full of despise. They gon' say that I'm ruining lives instead of what they gon' say. Maybe you should listen to what they don't say. Say that they ride, gon' say that they do it for God. They gon' say that they change their lives instead of what they gon' say. Maybe you should listen to what they don't say.
Two funny Christian girlfriends later, yes. I become the family household villain like Darth Vader. I'm the black Carl Sagan, host of Atheist Nation. Richard Dawkins and Stephen Hawking wrapped in one. It would take whatever God that you believe in to damn me.
It can't be Christianity that damages families.
So it is. Look how they indoctrinating these kids to believe in Santa Claus for adults. That's what it is. The other day I watched Jesus Camp. God damn. And you can pick which God to damn. This little boy was talking about how he was saved at 5. Cause he wanted so much better in his life. What the fuck? 8, 9, is your rent sky high? Did your wife leave you? What you know about being alive? And what's worse, he teaches this to other kids. And if that ain't brainwashing, then I don't know what is.
Say that I lie, gon' say that I'm fully despised. They gon' say that I'm ruining lives instead of what they gon' say. Maybe you should listen to what they gon' say. Say that they ride, they say that they do it for God. They gon' say that they change their lives instead of what they gon' say. Maybe you should listen to what they don't say.
Look, question everything, from the question to everything, just like America, if it's freedom, then let it ring. The Christians tell me that if I don't like it, get out, but you can send my black ass overseas, no doubt. George Bush Sr. says, what? We ain't even Americans, telling us that our cause is BS, like we're scared of him, like those little boys scared of the reverend that keeps on molesting them, sodomizing and sexing them. And if you believe this planet's 6,000 years old, damn, you stupid, and I really don't need nothing to rhyme with that. That's a common fact, so fat, you can order fries with that, stupid. I wish one of these rappers would defend their faith on a track like it's actually hood. I'll take it there. Yep, the name's Graydon Square. The hardest atheist and your grandmother's worst nightmare.
Say that I lie, gon' say that I'm fully despised. They gon' say that I'm ruining lives.
Just keep giving me press.
They gon' say, maybe you should listen to what they don't say. They gon' say that they ride, gon' say that they do it for God. They gon' say that they change their lives instead of what they gon' say. Maybe you should listen to what they don't say. Say that I lie, gon' say that I'm full of despise. They gon' say that I'm ruining lives instead of what they gon' say. Maybe you should listen to what they don't say. Say that they ride, gon' say that they do it for God. They gon' say that they change their lives instead of what they gon' say. Maybe you should listen to what they don't say.
First, dude. You don't want it with us like that. Not really. I want some rational response. Can I get some rational response? Grand Unified Theory, Rational Response Squad, Mr. Gone, Brian Safe, Brooke Hawk.